This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka an nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa tasliman kathira thumma amma ba'd. My message to you today is all about what you could call and consider a point of no return. We've been hearing about the shaitan and his attempts to kind of persuade many people to go off the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn for them in this life. We hear about the importance of having a certain standard of character and akhlaq to stay and remain on this path. But why is it so important anyway? Because at some point in your life, you are going to reach this moment, a point of no return, and that is death. You know, when it comes to death as a Muslim, we have a special understanding for it. We have very, very special understanding for the subject of death. The Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are full with instructions in regard to how to understand and how to look at it from a positive perspective even, and how I can utilize the energy that I can have in this life, in this world, before that moment comes in. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking of death and speaking about the people when they go into the day of judgment, to the hereafter. Allah azza wa jalla said that each probably and every individual will come to this moment and look back and say, قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. These people will come to a point when they say, my Lord, after they realize that they died. They will realize and they say, my Lord, bring me back again to this life. One more time. قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. Perhaps I could do better. Now that I know, I wish I can go back so I can do better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. No. It's a word that has been spoken. And that word that has been spoken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single soul shall have a taste of death. And that would be it. There is no return to this world. And the only return will be to the hereafter. How should we understand death? In those few minutes, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, I would like to share with you on that journey, our path all the way before that moment comes to us. How should we understand our presence in this world and keep in our mind that moment or point of no return? You see, when it comes to death, I know speaking about it is very kind of depressing sometimes. Indeed, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called death musibah. In the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَصَابَتْكُم مُصِيبَةُ الْمَوْتِ. And you have been afflicted by the calamity of death. So even death, it was called musibah, a calamity, catastrophe. It's okay to fear death, that's fine. It's okay to be saddened by death. It's okay to kind of run away from it, that's fine, that's okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called death musibah, catastrophe. But how far can we go away? How far can we go away from death? And how should we look at that moment of no return? You see, many people, they look at that moment of desperation. Moment for them that if they don't believe in the hereafter, so what's the point of this life? And they live depressed for the entire time that they have been assigned to live in this world. Other people, they look at it differently. They say that everybody who is born in this world, we are born with a sentence of death. And that's the meaning of Allah's word, subhanahu wa ta'ala, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall have a taste of death. Which means, yes indeed, once you're born, you know, there is a limited time for this life. And you need to prepare yourself for that moment. When it comes, I need to make sure that I have done the best of what I can. So if I know that I have this life and it's temporary, and it's going to come to a moment and point of no return, I'll make sure that I make the best of this life, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. In one hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a metaphor. In that metaphor, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi given us the way that we should really live this life, and the way we should at least understand it. This hadith Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu arda, in which he said, "أخذ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بمنكبي." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took me by my shoulder. Which means he put his hand on my shoulder. Here's the thing about this, now the beginning of the story. That is Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab. Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab, he was the brother of Hafsa, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is this kind of connection between him and someone who is now related to him. He cared for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam more probably than anybody else. After all, he is the brother, he's my brother-in-law basically. And he cared for him. That's one thing. Second, Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, at that time was very young. Was still young. He was a teenager when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Abdullah was still very young. So why would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam give him this an instruction related to death and living, how to live your life? He was giving him a head start. Like, listen, you're going to hear a lot of things about life. People, they're going to give you a lot of instructions on how to live your life. And who is going to be the best guide and the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to him? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's looking for him, and he kind of being very intimate in the way he speaks to him to make it very close to his heart and his mind. So he puts his hand on his shoulder sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another way that the hadith was recited was actually read the word bimankibay. Instead of one shoulder, he said two shoulders. So I want you to imagine now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam putting his hand on Abdullah's shoulder. Or he's holding him with both hands like this. Like he's putting both hands on his shoulder and he's speaking face to face to him. What does that mean? He's giving him that extra attention. Like, listen, ya Abdullah, listen to me. And he's now making sure that Abdullah is not distracted by anything around him. Like us over here, alhamdulillah, many. And we're distracted by many things around us. But here's Rasulullah is grabbing Abdullah by the shoulders and speaking to him, giving him a very special, custom-made, individualized advice. What could it be? He said to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قال, كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب. أو عابر سبيل وعد نفسك من أصحاب القبور. He said, listen, ya Abdullah. كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب. If you're going to live in this world, consider yourself a stranger. كأنك غريب. أو عابر سبيل, or a traveler, someone who's on the road. وعد نفسك من أصحاب القبور, and count yourself among the dead people. Among those people of the graves. What does it mean? I'm going to explain this inshallah ta'ala. So the first in the Prophet, the hadith speaks about three things. Number one, being a stranger. Number two, being on the road, a traveler. And number three, min ashab al-qubur, being dead. So how could you give someone an advice to live a life by telling them, listen, you're dead? How can any person take this as something positive anyway? You see, this is the difference between those who believe in the akhirah and those who don't. Those who believe in the akhirah, they would say, okay, so if I'm dying, I'm going to make the best out of this. Those who don't believe in the akhirah, they also say, I'm going to make the best of this. But what is the best right now? It's different. It depends on what they consider, how to define what is best in this world and this life. If you believe in the hereafter, you have one path to take as being the best way of dealing with living this life. And those who don't believe in the hereafter, they will take a complete different path. So what is the best, and how can we understand this from the hadith? Ghareeb. The Prophet ﷺ said to Abdullah ibn Umar, كُن فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ. Live in this world as if you're a stranger. If you're a stranger, and if you have done that, you've been traveled, for example, somewhere where you felt out of place. I know many people probably they're out of towner. So they come to Dallas, alhamdulillah, they see the hospitality, they will never feel strangers. I know that. Except from people from Maryland. So when you're here, and you go somewhere where you're completely stranger to the place, how do you feel? The first thing is wahsha. The meaning of wahsha, it's basically like you feel kind of like there's something in your heart. You're feeling uncomfortable, uneasy. It's completely uncomfortable space, uncomfortable place. You don't want to stay long in that space, in that place. That's how people live in the dunya. So when you're basically feeling ghareeb, everywhere you go, you feel that everybody's kind of like stranger to you and you're stranger to them. You start thinking that people are not friendly to you. Why? Because maybe you're a stranger. And perhaps, and this is so actually interesting, a lot of people who come to events like these, they see people are not so friendly very much because everybody is stranger to the other ones. So everybody thinks that expecting everybody else to be friendly to them. And that's why it's very important, these events, to what we do. Afshu salama baynakum. Say salam to each other. So that at least, you know, spread that kind of peace here. And here's, you start feeling uneasy and start feeling afraid being stranger in this world. And that's the meaning of living this life here. You know, you are going to make a life, inshallah ta'ala, here. But you always think of the place where you came from. And that is Jannah. Adam and Hawa, they started from there. And our return should be there. That's what we call home. The second thing is al-bahth an al-uns. They say that when you're when a stranger, what are you looking for? You're looking for some kind of like to break ice. And try to find something that is considered entertaining, recreation. And that's why a lot of the travelers, what do? When they go to a different city, they look for places where they can just kind of break that kind of sense of uneasiness. And they want to go for a recreational place where they kind of feel comfortable a little bit. And that's exactly the same thing in this dunya. Break away from what makes you uneasy and go to what brings peace and tranquility to you. And what is that? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed for you to make your life better? Ibadah, acts of worship. You know, when you live in this world and you go too much into dunya, specifically for the believers, when you indulge yourself too much in the dunya, you will be waiting for the month of Ramadan to start. Why is that? Because you know that you've been too far away. I need to come back and recalibrate. I need to come back and see myself. I'm losing the sense of who I am. I'm losing my sense of spirituality. So what are we looking for? We're looking for that moment, the moment of spirituality. I want to find ease. I want to find, I feel that I'm back home. That's what they're looking for. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Abdullah ibn Umar. Like, listen, if you get involved and indulge too much in the dunya, you're going to have to go back where you feel comfortable. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to call upon Bilal to call for the iqama, what he used to say, arihna biha ya Bilal. Bring us some ease and comfort with salah, ya Bilal. Because we break away from this dunya and we go into a different dimension of life. That's the life of the akhirah, life the hereafter. When it comes to the gharib, a stranger, we always want to go back home. And that's why the moment they finish, whatever that they do, they go back to the airport, they want to find the earliest flight possible. Why? Because khalas, I'm done, I need to go back home. And that is the meaning of the dunya over here as well. When you live in this world, what do? It's not about how much you get out of the dunya. It's how much that you feel you're content and happy with, and then you move on to that which is more important for you, to get yourself ready for the hereafter. The second statement, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the hadith, aw abir sabil, or a traveler. And what does it mean to be a traveler? If you travel, and most of you are travelers coming from somewhere else to attend this event right now, most likely you haven't taken much with you, whether you're traveling by car or flying in. How many bags did you guys collect with you? 10 bags? Are you coming here to stay? Most likely not. So therefore, unless of course somebody would like to move in, alhamdulillah, ala wa sahlan yani. But the thing is that when you are a traveler, you only carry with you enough, just enough for what you need until you go back home. You don't carry much. And especially, like back in the days when people used to travel by camels throughout the desert, they make sure that they only carry the most valuable things to them. They carry these things with them. Otherwise, if they kill the camel in the desert, they die. Similarly, in this dunya, how much are you carrying with you on that journey to the hereafter? The loads that you have on your heart, the burden you're carrying over your shoulder and your back, is it making your journey easy or difficult? So a traveler don't carry much on their hands and their luggage. And subhanAllah, we all know that when you go to the airport and you're traveling right now, it depends on how much you're carrying with you, they will treat you differently. So if you only come with a carry-on, what do they say? Bismillah, come on in. Ala wa sahlan. Maybe they will stop you just to check a little bit here and there, and then that's it, you're done. If you're carrying absolutely nothing except for your boarding pass, you go straight like a VIP person. No waiting. And if you carry one or two pieces, you're going to have to stand in line. They're going to have to weigh your luggage, making sure that you don't have, excess luggage and all that stuff and so on. So the more burden you carry with, the more load that you carry with you, the longer you will wait. Similarly, as you live in this dunya, as a traveler, the more you carry from here, burdened, without, of course, istighfar, without repentance, then that means we're going to stand longer there to answer questions. The second thing, as being a traveler, when you're a traveler and you stop by any area, you don't stay there for long. If you're driving for a few hours and you stop for gas, how long are you going to be staying there anyway? As long as it takes you to fill up, the gas tank, probably eat something, maybe use the restroom, and that's it, you move on. No one is going to come to a gas station on the road and say, wow, this place is awesome. I better start, see if they have any vacancies who could live in this area. No one would say that. People would laugh at them. It's just because the gas station was nice, you're not going to stay in the middle of the desert. So therefore, whenever you travel in this dunya, you remind yourself, this is just temporary. So if it's temporary, I'm going to always make sure to carry with me, inshallah ta'ala, enough sustenance until the end of that journey. And number three, when you're a traveler, we always think of ourselves as being now dependent on others. You know, when you're a traveler, of course, you don't know the place. So what do? You text your friends. You go online these days and you ask people, hey guys, do you know any place where I can go in this place? Any masjid? Any restaurant? Any this? Any that? What does it mean? You're always in need of other people for help, subhanAllah. That means you need help here in this dunya on your journey to the akhirah. How often do you connect with people to get to know, to take resources from them on that long journey that you have towards the akhirah? We need that help. Don't just be by yourself. Don't go solo on the journey. You need help from other people. These gatherings, alhamdulillah, might be a good opportunity to network with other people, like-minded people. You would see people from your community. They would say, oh, subhanAllah, mashallah, I didn't know that you come to these places. That's a good start. We can have these networking right now and start moving forward, inshallah, ta'ala, with assisting and helping one another. And another thing about the traveler, whenever actually they make any stop, they only stop for one reason. Just to resupply and move on. Similarly in this dunya, if you had to stop somewhere to resupply and move on, that's it. You don't resupply and just make your purpose just for this. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you, alhamdulillah, with a degree, Allah blessed you with extra income coming your way, Allah blessed you with a promotion, it's amazing, that's beautiful, accept that, take it. Don't say, no, I'm living for the akhirah. No, take this in your hand and make sure that you use this to supply yourself on that journey to the akhirah. Maybe Allah bringing this money towards you so you become more charitable. Maybe Allah has given you this degree so you can help other people get employed probably. Maybe Allah has given you this so you can start your own business and employ other people for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. You can do a lot with that. But remember that on the journey, whatever that you do, it is supply towards the akhirah as well. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to, or at least was speaking about the story of Qarun, the wealthiest man ever in the history probably of mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. That ابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ, always seek what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you with, always seek the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal in what He has provided for you. And then he said, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, and don't forget your share from this world. You balance this. But I take supply for the akhirah and enjoy the pleasure of this dunya moderately as well. The third statement we have in the hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abdullah ibn Umar, وَعُدَّ نَفْسَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ. What does it mean exactly? Count yourself among those who are already dead. Which is true. Just like I said earlier, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall have a taste of death. We're dying. وَعُدَّ نَفْسَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ means count yourself like one of those who are already dead. If I ask you right now about someone that you know passed away, a beloved person to you, or someone that you know in the community or maybe in the world, you can think of, if they would come back to this life and they would speak to you, what would they say? What would they do? So, عُدَّ نَفْسَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ, count yourself among the dead people. That means, what would they do? What would you do if you come back to this life? That's what it means. That's what you need to worry about yourself with. I'm sure that all these people who are dead, righteous or non-righteous, they all equally will wish to return back to this world. Why is that? Because if they were righteous, they would say, so I can do more, so I can have better. And those who haven't done that good, they would say, so I can do at least something that will save me from the troubles. But they all will wish to come back again to do better. So, عُدَّ نَفْسَكَ مَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ, count yourself among those who are dead. That means if you know it is so true that they will wish to come back to do better, then do it yourself. Do it yourself right now. The second thing, النَّاسُ فِي غَفْلَةٍ فَإِذَا مَاتُوا انْتَبَهُوا. People are heedless about what's coming their way. But when they die, they wake up. When they die, they wake up. Al-Hasan al-Basri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said one time, قَالَ مَا رَأَيْتُ يَقِينًا لَا شَكَّ فِيهِ أَشْبَهَ بِشَكٍّ لَا يَقِينَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. Like, I've never seen any certainty that has no doubt in it, similar to a doubt that has no certainty in it than death. Which means, if there is anything that people are more certain about in this world, is what? Death. But how they treat death? Like it's not certain at all. Like it's not going to come anytime soon. That's how it is. So if you know that it's coming your way, if you know that it is coming your way, then you need to be prepared for that. And that is the meaning of the words of Allah, the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَعُدَّ نَفْسَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ, that count yourself among the dead people. One time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi, actually, and it was mentioned as one of the Salaf al-Salih rahimahumullah, when they saw a procession of a janazah, and they said, what do you expect this person to say if they come back to this life? قَالُوا لَا يَقُلُوا لَا خَيْرًا, that the woman wouldn't say anything but good. And he said, قَالَ إِذَنْ كُنْ أَنْتَ هُوَ, put yourself in that position, that you're already dead, and you came back again to this world. So if you are so certain that they're gonna do better and the best, then be that person to do the best. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَكْبُرْ ابْنُ آدَمْ وَتَكْبُرْ مَهُ خَصْلَتَانِ, the son of Adam grows old, وَتَكْبُرْ مَعْهُ خَصْلَتَانِ, and two qualities always grow with them. What are they? الْحِرْصُ وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ, means being basically greed, needing for more, وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ, hoping for longer life. As we grow older, we wish to live longer, subhanAllah. I wish to have even more and more in this life. But what is this an indication for what? Probably immaturity. They say that growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional. We're all going to grow old, but how many of those people who are growing older are getting actually into a level of maturity that we consider grown-ups right now? That's what we mean by this. You're going to grow older and older and older every single second, not every single day even. But how much of this old age that you're getting is bringing to you that which is good and living it the best way possible? Now, if this is what we understand about death, how should we treat that? Death, should it be considered a motivation to do better, or for, you know, becoming desperate and become lazy and just wait for that moment to come? People, they treat death differently, of course, obviously. Those who hate death, whether they don't believe in the Akhirah, or those who are sinners. Those who don't believe in the Akhirah, of course, they don't know what's going to happen next, and that's why they're so terrified, they're so scared. Their fitrah keeps fighting their belief or their disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. Even though they've convinced themselves rationally, or at least that's how they think they are, they convince themselves there is nothing after this life, but the fitrah is fighting them back. And that's why they're always worried. They're always anxious. And they always keep going back and forth, back and forth. Even though, again, they think that there is nothing happening after death, they're still getting anxious. And they grow older, they become more anxious, more and more, subhanAllah. And the only way to find peace, if you start using this life to prepare for the afterlife. And the second category that would hate death is a sinner. Someone who's indulged in the sin so much, so every time you try to advise them, and they know, and they believe in Allah in the hereafter. But maybe their level of repentance and fear of Allah is not as strong. So they're always afraid of death. They want to wait longer so they can repent later on. So they keep delaying repentance, and they get scared of death. And if they do so, sometimes they get to a moment of desperation, unfortunately. And the people, they need to get out of that mode so they can use the best of this life, inshaAllah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. As for those who believe in the hereafter and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the life after death, they take death as a motivation. It's a motivation. If you know that your life is temporary, and there will be a moment of no return, what am I going to do with this life? I don't care how long I'm going to live in this life. I'm going to make sure to use the best of this life, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Our ulama, they used to say about them, whenever they would be on their deathbed and they would hear a good word, or a word of knowledge basically, a word of wisdom, they would request a pen and a paper to write it down as an addition to their knowledge. And they would say, in this moment? He says, of course. Of course in this moment. Because when I don't want to die saying that I didn't learn this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even instructed us, even if it was the end of the world, not just the end of your life, and it was the hereafter. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, إِذَا قَامَتِ السَّاعَةِ, if the hour is established, the day of judgment is established, وَفِي يَدِي أَحَدُكُمْ فَسِيلًا, and you have in your hand a tree, put it in the ground before it's over. Just put it down there, meaning put the roots in there. So this would count as part of your what? Hasanat. That you have done something good even before the world was over. And that's a motivation. So as a Muslim, I take death as a motivation for me. I don't know when it's going to happen. So what does it mean to me? Every single day is going to be the best day of my life. And the best day of my life is going to be living it the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed me to live. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Tabarak, تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم. He is the one subhanahu wa ta'ala who created life and death. For what reason? ليبلوكم, to try you, to test you. أيكم أحسن عملا, who are those who are going to be the best amongst you in terms of their good deeds. So if I know that this life is all about this, death for me is just another moment of life. When is it going to come in? Allahu A'lam. But what am I going to do? I'm going to just be ready for it. How is that? Number one, that I know that death is haqq. Death is haqq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means it's true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. Sakratul maut, the agonies of death, the last moment of life, basically, it comes with the truth. What is it? Death. So I know that the maut, death, is considered haqq and it's true. And it's natural. All of us are going to have that taste of this, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And I know that death is one of the means of getting to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ahabba liqa'a Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'a." If you always love to meet your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would love to meet you. So when I live my life, I want to make sure that I live a life that would always make me desire to meet my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not living a life that makes me dread the moment of meeting my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'll make sure I do my best. So when I die, I hope for my sins, forgiveness. Because I've done my best in terms of repentance. And for the good deeds, I hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most generous, to give me the best I can get. I also want to learn about death, that death should be the motivation to do the righteous deeds, as-salihat. If I know that this is only one life, as they say, then I'm going to make the best of it. And how is it going to be the best? By following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands in this dunya. Death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it for us so that we can achieve things. You know, if you know that your life is temporary, what are you going to do? Make the best achievements. You know those who take risks? What are they taking risks for? Because they know it might be the last chance to do it. And if you know that death, at least life, is one life, I'm not going to leave without leaving an impact, without leaving legacy. So I'm going to take risks. I'm going to make achievements. And these achievements should be in the dunya so I can win the akhirah. And finally, when it comes to death, as the Prophet ﷺ says, this dunya is like a prison. You don't know what it looks like there in the akhirah. And you won't be able to get there until you leave this world. So therefore, those who are always afraid of death, they can always procrastinate. They're now desperate, they're tired, they're exhausted, they're so afraid, they're not going to do anything good. But those who look at death as one of these events of this life, and its motivation to make every single day the best day of their life, they will definitely follow Allah's command, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى أَتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. You worship your Lord until the most certain thing comes to you. And what is that most certain in this context? That is death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who listen to this speech and follow the best of it. And I ask Allah as well to give us all that righteous life in this dunya and the great reward in the akhirah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.